In a hotel not far from Arlington National Cemetery, nearly 800 people fill a vast meeting room, and every one has a story of loss that's rippled through generations.
He went down, leaving my mother with five children under the age of seven.
I was 3 years old. My sister was born 3 days later.
All my life, I grew up seeing the pain that was caused my grandmother, my mother, my aunts, my other uncle.
My grandfather was so distraught, not with just the loss, but the unknown, he ended up taking his own life.
Every year, the federal government invites the families of Korean War missing to a meeting like this. They hear updates on diplomatic efforts with North Korea, learn about advances in the science of identifying long-buried remains, and go into back rooms for private updates on their individual cases.
You come each year hoping to have just a little bit of new news or glimmer of hope or possibility that maybe, maybe one day we'll bring him home.
Jennifer Castaldi of Winston-Salem has been coming to these meetings for nearly a decade. She calls it a mission to bring closure to her family. Her uncle, PFC Marshall Bush, vanished in late 1950 during notoriously fierce fighting near the Chosin Reservoir.
And my uncle Lynn writes, "Dear folks, I'm hoping that this letter finds you all well."
8 days earlier, he had mailed his last letter home.
"Our camp is near one of those reservoirs, either the Chosin or the Fusen. All of the boys are talking about what they're going to do when they get home, and I've been thinking of the same thing."
Lynn, as the family called him, had a twin brother named Dell and two sisters. Jennifer Castaldi's mother is the last sibling left. The missing Marine's twin died just last year.
"He was never able to attend these meetings or be a part of this mission because it pained him too much. He would reminisce about the times that they did have together, but further than that, he really couldn't handle speaking about the times that they didn't have together."
Castaldi says Dell probably felt a special kind of heartache over his brother's loss, in part because he was also in the military, and the Pentagon had said only one of them could go into combat. But the loss and years of uncertainty about Lynn's fate rippled through the rest of the family, too.
"My grandmother shut down a lot about life after she lost her son. I would often just find her sitting in the corner crying. And that was back in the day when the father went out and made the money and the mom held the family together, basically, was the adage. So when mom fell apart, everybody fell apart."
Attendance at this year's meeting was the largest ever, and there was good news on several fronts. Just days earlier, the 55 new boxes of remains had reached the United States. Families also hoped the seeming thaw in relations with North Korea could result in more returns, or even open the door to the first U.S. recovery efforts there in more than a decade. And during the meeting, military officials announced a new plan to disinter hundreds of other unidentified U.S. remains that were buried in Hawaii shortly after the war. Families are optimistic that advances in DNA science will help identify many of those service members, too.
"I've been to a few meetings where there was nothing positive shared. No information, no new hope. Families were crying, frustrated, yelling at each other. And that's not the atmosphere now."
The efforts that the United States takes to recover and identify its war missing are unique and relatively recent. They began in the mid-1960s when families of Vietnam POWs and MIAs started organizing. Family members say the Pentagon agency overseeing the work was dysfunctional until it was reorganized 3 years ago.
"It wasn't working. It wasn't set up to work. And since then, they've been united in what they can do."
Richard Downs is president of the Coalition of Families of Korean and Cold War POW/MIAs.
"In terms of the families, we were not a partner. It was hard to get information. It was hard to get cooperation. And then something happened to the chemistry of it all. They call us. The exchanges are on the highest level now."
He says, though, there have been too many ups and downs in the volatile relations between the U.S. and North Korea to feel confident about the immediate future. North Korea has returned boxes of remains to the U.S. several times over the years, but those isolated cases never led to a more permanent arrangement. And though U.S. recovery teams were allowed into North Korea for a few years, they withdrew in 2005.
"We're at a tipping point. these things have happened before and we've tipped backwards. We hope this time to tip forward.
Another hope for families, that they'll soon have something more of their missing relatives than just memories and old letters.
Well, there isn't anything else to write about, so until next time, adios.
Castaldi's mother, the last of her missing uncle's siblings, is in a nursing home now and couldn't come to this year's meeting. But Castaldi has started bringing her own daughter to continue the family's mission of trying to bring her uncle home.
Especially your loving son and brother, Lynn. Merry Christmas.
Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.